SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Churchill Downs, Breeders' Cup 2018, it's here. And later today, downtown, they will draw the fields for the 14 races. Just a buzz of activity in terms of horses preparing, horses out of quarantine. First thing I saw this morning was Enable. The first thing that I saw this morning was Enable. Came in and down the 7-furlong chute. There was Enable in the blanket that the Euros wear when they come out of quarantine, along with a couple of the other Gosden runners, one seemingly mired on the also eligibles. But there was Enable, and she was getting not a tour of the facility, but she was just lightly jogging and walking down the chute, and then right behind her came these other runners, including Maurice Diamond for Mark Johnston, and there was Legends of War for Gosden, and then Roaring Lion right behind. And it was very cool to see the Euros first and foremost, including the two Gosden stars that will be the major stories as we get to Saturday. Meanwhile, lots of movement in terms of horses that either can't run or won't, and the horses that are choosing their spots, and some of that information locked in at this point, including the decision involving the Bensons and Tom Amos, Lone Sailor, who will contest the Classic. And, honestly, given the field that is firmed up for the Dirt Mile, why not? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you run the Classic and give a shot that you sense that he's up against it, frankly, in either race? But you know, he's been two turning, and it's his home track, and so many other reasons not to, not to bypass a chance at the Classic as a 3-year-old, and the 3-year-old's the big portion, clearly, of the story going in. McKenzie and Catholic Boy and Axelrod and Roaring Lion. So we'll get to all of that, and the fields will be complete for us by the time we get together tomorrow morning. They'll be ready for you to handicap probably by about 7 o'clock, maybe a little bit later. Fields will filter in from the draw downtown into the systems that'll spit out past performances and reports like Thoroughgraph and so forth. There is a fair amount of handicapping that we can get done, but there's also obviously some weekend recapping to do, and not the least of which will be paying tribute appropriately to Cott Campbell. And the news began to spread that Cott had passed on Saturday, and the influence, the legacy that Cott Campbell leaves in the sport, it will be so lasting. Inducted this summer at Saratoga into the new wing, the Legends of the Turf wing of the hall, an honor that he's been honored in so many different capacities, whether it's as Aiken Man of the Year of South Carolina, and however other ways he's been recognized in his career, he he really relished the opportunity at Saratoga in August to accept induction into the Hall. And you can't underestimate what Cott Campbell has done for the game. The introduction of the partnership concept that he championed, and actually not just championed, but had to fight for, because it was not initially welcomed by the industry. And here it is 40 plus 50 years later, give or take 40 plus years later, and it's not the game savior, but it's an unbelievably vital element of the ownership equation in the sport. And we'll talk to Neil Howard. Neil will join us first. There's been plenty of trainers that have had great success with Dogwood, but Neil Howard is who I always think of first. And obviously Summer Squall, I associate Neil, for whatever reason, the most with Dogwood, and Todd Pletcher, of course, as well. And I'm sure Todd will talk about what horses from Dogwood, including Trippy, meant to Todd early in his career, and then later on, contributing one of Todd's classic wins, of course, with Palace Malice, and not just the Belmont win, but a Met as well, and Nick Zito too. You go through the list of stake winners. Zito trained the Storm Song, the only champion I think that Dogwood has had. And we'll talk to Jack Sadler. And Jack's association with Cott goes way back. Goes back to the original farm in Georgia. And I really appreciate, and I'm sure it won't be easy for Jack Sadler to talk about what Cott means to him and has meant to the sport. 91. The original number went up was 90, but then it was. I see that his age has been amended. Cott Campbell came from advertising, and he talks when you read about his life. Goes back to, I think, the 1942 Derby, I think. And that was his first. That his dad is the one that got him bit by the racing bug. And, one thing that you have to mention with Cott Campbell, too, if you haven't read his writing, seek it out. And, he wrote The Lightning in a Jar, and I forget that was the first book. The other two, I'll have to get the names of the other two. But his writing was terrific, animated, and coming from advertising, I guess, terrific copywriter. He wrote his own story. I wrote that on Twitter Sunday morning, that he literally wrote his own story. He didn't reinvent himself, but he certainly wrote fresh chapters as he went, and he had a wonderful life. And our sympathies to Anne, his wife, and just constant, constant companion. And whenever you saw Cott, Anne was right there, and I luckily was able to, to see Cott this summer, and then his health started to fade later in the into the fall. So we'll talk about Cott Campbell, and hard not to pay homage we will obviously get together with Johnny D. Johnny, top of hour two. Express Bet Breeders' Cup Wagering Guide. Ready for you. As soon as we got off the air on Friday, it was out. And some just interesting information starting tomorrow. Once the fields are drawn, we'll be able to start to go through and add and prune and, you know, make the adjustments. The wagering guide, a great starting point, but got plenty more to add to it as the week goes on. The other conversations, Mike Welch later, and we'll go through the weekend's work. Certainly not just here, but in New York and California. Horses preparing all over the place. XBTV, just invaluable. And also the feed that Breeders' Cup is doing from Churchill, terrific. 7 to 9 every morning. And Caton Bradar and Joe Christofek, and then lots of guests. Gabby Gaudette is over on the backside, and she's grabbing people to contribute, obviously, to the discussions. Trainers and pundits, any number of visitors as the week goes on. We'll talk to Declan Carroll. And for those of you that have heard me mention, Davey and Kim Carroll's son, their youngest, had been working for Mark Cassie with the intention of riding in the afternoons. And he got his first win on Friday at Keeneland. And just it's one of those situations where it's kind of a backside celebration because a kid like Declan Carroll, you know, grew up on the racetrack. That is when Kim and Davey could get him out of bed. And don't think I'm not going to give him that bar, but he's going to swing by after workouts this morning. I want to personally congratulate Declan Carroll. It's great. His father, of course, as outstanding an exercise rider as there ever was. Somebody that handled so many great horses. And running the string here for Mark Cassie after a long, successful career of his own as a trainer. And just delighted. And, you know, the forgotten member of that Carroll clan is Aislinn, the daughter, who's a wonderful rider in the show ring. I saw Kim tweeted. She's obviously, they're proud as can be of Declan, but both kids, terrific horsemen. Really nice. So Deck will come through as well. And we're also, I want to get a visit in after Neil Howard joins us next. We'll reach downtown. EquestriCon opens at 10 o'clock, 2 days. The industry trade show, convention, gathering. It's a little different here. Installed as part of the Breeders' Cup Festival. They're doing it downtown, and everything in place for a terrific couple of days, the trade show and presentations and so forth. So we'll check in with Dan Torchman as well. And I'm not sure if Dan is on Thursday night. We've got the Stats Racelens Breeders' Cup preview. I'm not sure if Dan's on. I know Lafitte, it's me and Lafitte. and either Dan or Ellis Starr, I think. So we'll get a Breeders' Cup. I'm sure Dan hasn't even looked at the Breeders' Cup yet. Let's take a break. Neil Howard is going to join us first, though, to talk about Cock Gamble.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
Are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent DeSarmo and Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at
502-863-1775. Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You've got an open heart, so you share what's inside, thinking that all is said in confidence. But then you realize it's not always the sun is heavy.
Churchill Downs, by the way, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, and at our website, stevebick.com. If I don't say it in the first opening seconds, sometimes it gets shunted, and then it doesn't feel like we're actually here doing it. But Breeders' Cup 2018, but ahead of Breeders' Cup conversation, paying appropriate tribute to Cott Campbell, and as I told Neil Howard this morning, Neil is always the first horseman that I think of and associate with Dogwood, and of course the success of Summer Squall and others, and Neil had as long a tenure with Cott as anyone, and even under these circumstances, it's a pleasure to welcome Neil Howard. And Neil, 91, Cott Campbell, and he was bigger than life. He always was smiling and laughing and upbeat. I'm sure there were quiet moments when he wasn't smiling and happy, but not that we ever saw. Saddened, but want to celebrate what a iconic figure Cott Campbell is for the racing industry.
Yeah, he was, Steve, and I hope you all are doing fine. he really was, in a simple term, he was just what, and I would say this as a compliment, he was just a straight shooter. And I don't think you could pay anybody a better compliment than that, especially in a business like this where it's so competitive and there are so many ups and downs and so many, you know, more things go wrong than go right. But, you know, and it just the fact that his demeanor and his business, his understanding of the industry, you know, made it, for lack of a better term, easy to do good for him. And of course, you know, and a lot of everybody that knows me, I've been very, very fortunate to be associated with people like him and, of course, Mr. Parrish, you know, people like that, that you don't have to spell things out to. They understand the business is good or better than anybody, and he was one of those types.
And, in fact, I think Summer Squall, there's a tie, right, between Summer Squall and Dogwood and Lane's End and Mr.
Yes.
Farish.
Yes, because he bought the Colt from Mr. Farish as a yearling, and it was kind of a two-sided thing. You know, Mr. Farish retaining part of him, and Mr. Campbell had asked Mr. Farish, and Mr. Farish gave his blessing for me to be able to train the Colt at Mr. Campbell's request. And the rest, you know, as they say, was racing history. As far as I was concerned, I was very fortunate to have the horse.
There was an at that point as well. That was still, you know, relatively early in Dogwood's kind of the formative years, and I think, you know, one of the things Jack Sadler is going to join us too, Neil, and
yeah,
one of the things that I'm sure Jack will talk about was that period when, you know, the industry wasn't all that welcome to the they weren't that welcoming to the concept of the partnership.
Right. It was in its early in its infancy, as you know. And people like Jack Sadler and Ron Stevens, his trainer, could shed much more light on that than I can. But it was in its, he was one of the pioneers of it. I think anybody would agree with that. And it's amazing what has evolved from that. The impact that his forward thinking has turned into, because it's almost a rarity now to, I'm not saying that every partnership is a big, huge, limited partnership, but I think that most people would say that the industry owes quite a big debt of thank you to him for creating this, because it's brought so many more people into the business. I mean, I can't imagine, I mean, I think the impact, that there's a positive impact that it's had on the industry has been unlimited. And, you know, it's almost a rarity nowadays to even train a horse that's owned by one person anymore. So it's really, it's been unbelievable how it's changed in all ways. And you can see why. I mean, the enjoyment of it and the friendships that it creates, and obviously has brought in people that otherwise wouldn't have the financial wherewithal to be able to get into the business. It's just the results of it, the effects of it, you could go on for an hour about it or more.
No doubt. And I wanted to, you know, get a couple of different perspectives and, you know, the tie between Dogwood and kind of the next generation with Aaron Wellman's Eclipse, Thoroughbred Partners. You bring up, yeah, a great point, Neil, when you say, I mean, there's just very few Farishes around,
right.
Phipps's,
right.
Jannies, Charlotte Webbers. It's a rarity.
Right. Yes, it is. And, you know, somebody like, and you mentioned Aaron Wellman, who I met a couple of times, and he's, to me, I've only met him a couple of times. He's an excellent guy, and I think he seems like the type of person that kind of like Mr. Campbell who you know how to navigate through the people and bring people in and do it to letting everybody know exactly up the good, the bad, the ups and downs and this and that, what to expect, what not to expect. But people appreciate that. And like the Terry Finley, there's so many of these partnerships. It's helped the industry immensely.
Going back to the horses that you had and Summer Squall, and you and I have discussed the Squall any number of times, but talk about working with Cott and you know the pleasure that came with the Summer Squall. You know, there obviously had been real hope that for the Derby that he could be a Derby winner, and he ended up turning your sights on on the Preakness after after Unbridled's win. Talk a little bit about the time together and what interaction with Cott was like particularly around a big horse.
Yeah, it was a real good learning curve for me from the business side of it. As far as the horse went, the colt, he was a very, very good colt, Summer Squall. You know, had the constitution of an elephant. I mean, he was unbelievable. But it was kind of interesting because things started out, boom, perfectly. And he was undefeated as a two-year-old, as you know. And everything was great. Had to put him away for a while, freshen him up a little bit. And brought him down to Florida. Everything was great. We were getting going again. And then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, which can happen nowadays, and it was about his second or third to last work before he's going to make his first start, embarking on his Derby campaign at Gulfstream. He bled horrifically one morning after work. And I mean, here was an undefeated two-year-old. The only reason that he probably wasn't, he got hurt in the hopeful. So that's why he had to, he needed time off after the hopeful. But not serious. He just came up with a little bit of a stress fracture and a cannon bone. But he got all bumped around in that race and everything like that. That caused that. Anyway, that was a real blow to us when he bled like that. And and that's when I first realized that we're going to be able to make this through, because I called Mr. Campbell and he didn't mince words. He said, okay, just let me know what we need to do, what's what. And basically we backed off. He gave me his he just told me, do what we got to do. But, when you got a horse, it's January, December, January, or a Derby prospect, there's not much time to be messing around, But we got through it, and he worked with me, and, he made it easy for me.
The satisfaction of the Preakness win and for Dogwood, it even though there had been some other nice horses that had been successful, I mean that really is the foundation, the cornerstone of what happened subsequently.
Yeah, I mean it was fantastic. That colt was something though. I mean, he takes the horse. We forget it was. It was all him, but it was great to come back and him run well. We did get a couple of preps into him. He prepped well for the Derby, ran good in the Derby, and then obviously it was just fantastic to see him kind of turn the tables on Unbridled and in the Preakness, and the opportunity that he gave me, how many, it's not often that great trainers go through their whole career and never even run in a classic, much less get to win one. So I'll always be grateful for that.
For you, Neil, and you know, in the relationship with Cott, what advice or what portion of his personality stays with you the most?
I just think, and I mean this in the most positive way, because he and Mrs. Campbell became, you know, they were like family to Sue and I, and I just think that. Again, you know, I hate to beat this into the ground, but being a straight shooter, don't mince words, and just being be nice to everybody, and just always make sure you're showing everybody you got. You just always have everybody's best interest at heart. Just be genuine, and you know whether it's good, bad, and different. If you have things that aren't just going right, tell everybody what's what. We win together, we lose together.
Cott Campbell, 91, and I put a link up, Neil, on Twitter to that piece that he wrote. I think it's just actually just a couple of years ago. The game is Dick Tracy that was in Blood Horse, kind of revisiting the summer squall campaign.
And yeah.
He was a wonderful writer. I mean, his writing is really vivid, and you know, not everybody writes in a way that is emblematic of their personality, but he did and does, and his writing, his writing really, it's him. You can see him. You can almost hear the words as you read them, he'll be with us always. What he's done for this sport is, you know, will live forever.
No, you're right. He did have an extra knack for that kind of stuff, and you understand that kind of stuff because you're in journalism and media and all that. People think they can do it, but then when they have to do it, you can't. You have no idea. There's a lot. It just takes that certain, I don't know, I can't even describe it.
Well, Neil, I appreciate this. We're gonna talk to, you know, Todd and Jack Sadler and Aaron Wellman yet, and I'm sure others that'll, you know, as they visit the two that aren't even obvious directly connected, but he leaves just so many admirers and partners and friends, and I appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for calling, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Not at all. Neil Howard, everybody. The season of summer squall and the Preakness win that really went a long way toward you know, Dogwood's presence and the entire partnership concept. The lightning rod, for whatever reason, seems to be Saratoga and Funnyside's Derby win because it was the Derby, but you know, this came 15 years earlier and helped, you know, really kind of plant, I think, the seed that grew from there. And as Neil mentions, there's really very few. Even when you see the big outfits, the biggest and most well-heeled outfits partnering up together to defray expenses on pricey horses, but Dogwood really, it's the engine on the train. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I want to get a visit in with Dan Torchman downtown at the convention center, where they're about to kick off within a half an hour now of this second EquestriCon. Of course, we had it at Saratoga. We had so much fun last summer, the 2 days on site. This is the timing's a little different here, just because the priority is Breeders' Cup and that, you know, that's the focus. But they're a lot of people that are coming to town and coming early to be there today, tomorrow, or make it part of their Breeders' Cup week. After that, I think Declan Carroll is done for the morning with his exercise, and so the obligations. So he might come over, and we'll get him here live. Johnny D. at the top of the hour as well as we continue to work our way into Breeders' Cup 2018 here at Churchill Downs. There was another tragic racing circumstance, too, from the weekend that involving a Breeders' Cup horse that we've got a report on. Back after this, though, Dan Torjman, Equestricon.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, the roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. The roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. I need a mop. I cry so hard, teardrops on my face. Drippity drop, yeah. She packed up her bags and she moved out on a midnight train. Got no brain. To see me, to give me a tip, tip, tip. I said, now listen here, friend. I tell you, I'm hip, hip, hip. Why don't you mind your own business? Shut your lip, lip, lip. I know when my girl give me the slip, slip, slip. I said, the roof is leaking. Rain's falling on my head. Oh, yeah. I cry so hard. Teardrops on my bed.
We're back at the races. Back at the parlay, the media center, Churchill Downs, and it is, you know, it's different here when you come here for Derby and Breeders' Cup, the two biggest reasons to come to Churchill Downs. We've got to turn that around on you. Hold on, no problem. Here we go. That's all right. The the atmosphere is just it's just not the same. That shouldn't come as a surprise. I mean, the anticipation of Derby and everything that leads into it is so much, is so ingrained, I suppose. It's nice to come here, obviously. It's really one of my favorite. This is Santa Anita, and if Belmont, after the renovation, I suppose we'll get Belmont back into the rotation, which will be great. And then, obviously some satellites have been developed between Keeneland and Del Mar, and we'll see if we ever go back to Woodbine or wherever. But it is different, and the fall season is part of that. And the fall season, of course, concluding Saturday at Keeneland. But the biggest story, not the Fayette. Leo Frick won the Fayette, by the way. The biggest story of Keeneland weekend was Declan Carroll getting his first professional race riding victory in the afternoon, and like so many people, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, that it really is kind of a racetrack and backstretch family celebration, because everybody here and in New Orleans too.
Yes,
they all watched Declan and Aislinn grow up, Kim and Davey Carroll's two wonderful children, and it is just a pleasure to have Declan Carroll live here the Monday after his first race riding victory. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
It wasn't gonna kick off the week. It's perfect. We got to wait till this afternoon for the draws and have these fields firmed up. So it's a perfect way to kind of get the week started. And, you were doing a lot of exercise work, and you obviously in your parents, and, people, if they don't realize this, not only, of course, has Davey been a lifelong rider that worked his own horses, but mother and Dave's wife Kim, also a top exercise rider for her whole racetrack career. So you and Aislinn both had a perfect scenario growing up with both parents teaching you how to ride.
Yes, couldn't have been asked to be raised in a better family. Probably the better rider is my sister, who works for Philip Dutton as of right now. And I've learned my dad and my mom being at the racetrack since I could walk. It's a dream come true. Being around in the room with the guys I've been around with my whole life, and doing it at Keeneland, couldn't ask to do it at a better place.
How early on did you know you were going to either ride at least for entertainment and for fun, or maybe some exercise work? But when did you know you wanted to do this?
Well, I guess when I was 6 years old, I started dressing up as a jockey for 6 years in a row as a jockey. But when I was about 15, 16, I knew once I got started and I got riding, I said, this is what I want to do. I want to try to make a career out of this. Obviously, being as tall as I am and weight restrictions, it's going to be tough. But hopefully, moving forward, I can keep it under control and have a successful career.
You're wiry, and be built like your dad.
Yes.
But a little taller.
A little taller, like my mom.
So you got the best of both, I suppose. And you're naturally lightweight, though.
I mean,
you're light framed.
Yes. Just have a good diet and. When you want to have some fun, you just got to keep it under control.
Have you been watching the weight these last 3-4 years?
Yes. I've always tried to keep a good diet. I work out every day and I actually do a thing, hot yoga, actually.
Absolutely. Sure, sure.
And that's great for mobility and helps with the weight. But you just, when you want to go out, you can't always get the desserts.
That's all right. You can pick your spots.
Exactly.
and celebrations. One of the things I mentioned earlier this morning that I was going to certainly bring up with you, I can remember coming to the barn, mostly for Derby years, and we think about Dennis O'Cork, and I would say to your dad and your mom, where's Deck? Oh, he's home asleep. So how did you cure yourself from the sleeping in?
Oh, man, I usually sleep in the back of the car. well, when it was about time to get up for work, when I started getting older, they're like, well, you got to get up to work. You know that, right? I said, yeah, this is what I want to do. So, no, it's, when I realized that how much fun it was, and not just the racing part and betting as a young one, I got more enjoyable out of it, and it was kind of meeting everybody and being around everything, and Breeders' Cup weekend, these are the days that you want to be out.
The education part of race riding and differentiating it from workout, talk about, you know, the learning curve, you know, what your parents imparted, and then how that translates into, you know, being an afternoon rider. Yeah.
Well, I think ever since I've been coming to the track, my dad's always kind of been just always teaching me the ropes of, you know, being respectful, being disciplined, and how to talk to people. I think that's a big thing, how to talk to people and trainers, owners, because it goes a long way, being able to talk to people in the right ways. And, you know, growing up with my mom, she's maybe not in the racing as much as my dad, but she's always, if there's someone to get after me, it's my mom. You wouldn't think that, but no, she's the one who, after calling, what kind of ride was that, Declan? But no, it's always good. But, you know, allow with my dad, allow me to get on horses for him when he was training by himself, and then allow me to get him with Mr. Cassie, you know, that's a huge help, getting to ride great horses every morning. And you can always tell now when you get to ride from a grade one winner to maybe not a grade one winner, it teaches you a lot. And I know my dad sometimes, maybe I spoiled you a little too much getting on these nice ones. You know, I don't think without them and being able to travel to Ireland last summer to ride for Michael Halford, I wouldn't be where I am today. And, you know, just have to keep working hard.
How much of the afternoon portion now, in terms of an agent and in terms of where, you know, where you see yourself going, because you knew this summer, we talked about it at Saratoga, and I mentioned it on the air that you were preparing for, you know, to launch a career. What's the career path for now?
Right now we're going to ride here at Churchill. This is me coming up, and then I'm going to head down to Fairgrounds with Joe Pauly as my agent, who also has Joe Rocco, who's also a very good rider. And then we're going to see where we go forward. Hopefully we can have a good start. Obviously getting a winner at Keeneland, that always helps. But now a lot more people start watching, and you got to always try to improve every day, because if you don't improve as you ride more, people aren't going to like that. So hopefully we can move forward.
Is there a style of race, a style of horse, do you feel like you've got a certain special, not a specialty, because you don't want to get, no jock wants to get pigeonholed as a, you know, he's only good on speed horses, he's a turf rider off the pace. What do you sense is an area where when you think you've got a live horse, or a horse that you think you can get something from, what kind of race is it that excites you the most?
I feel like I'm more of a patient rider. That's going to be rider that's not, I know saying this, won my first race on the lead, but not on the lead. I would say I'm like, I wouldn't be a guy that would probably handle California speed being up front, but I think I can be able to sit a good trip in behind horses and then make a late run. I think a good example would be Julian Leperu, who's very patient and has a very strong finish, Florent Giroux. I try to look after those riders and hopefully can be as successful as they are.
The win, in fact, talk about the win. It was a messy day out there.
Yes, I was actually nice, not getting muddy at all.
Exactly.
But going into the race, I told my agent, Joe, in the mornings, I said, I'm taking this filly to the lead and hopefully not looking back. You know, that day, Keeneland, I think we can all agree, it was very speed biased. You had to be very close to the lead, especially on a muddy track. She gave me speed. She wanted to do it with her ears up front. So, yeah, we went, I think it was 24-3, 48-2. And I knew at then, at about the half mile, I said, okay, I think we have a shot here. And turning for home, I hear Chris Landeros at my hip. He says, I'm done here. I think it's your turn. And I kind of got a smile on my face at that time. I said, and once I kicked home, I saw the screen. I said, I got this one. And that brought a big smile on my face, which brought me into a little bit of tears seeing my dad at the winner's circle.
It came to meet you, and yeah. Then of course the jocks gave you the business,
yeah.
Which the hazing, that's not hazing.
No, it's fun.
Yeah, it's a good natured and trainer Dan Pitts, right?
Daniel Pitts, yes. A lot of people are he's in training center in Lexington. A lot of people get him messed up with Daniel Pites, and actually. Helen Pitts was getting all congratulations on Facebook.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. Of course, she's actually married to Blasey's brother. Right. But
yes.
The B-Deb's Fortune was the horse,
yes.
And paid a big number too.
Yes, 16-1. I think it was 35.
35-20.
Yeah. So yeah, but in that race, I knew we were live. I really felt like today that day was the day. In that race, it wasn't particularly the best of fields. So I think in those fields, you kind of take advantage of the speed, and it was good. She kept going.
You know, you're getting calls from lots of different trainers,
yes.
Too. Brendan Walsh has given you calls. You rode for Murat Sankal, I saw,
yes.
And then looking ahead to this weekend, John Ortiz,
yes.
Has got you on coming up on Thursday, mm-hmm. And on Wednesday, Ethan West,
yes.
You're in a claimer winner's expedition,
yes.
In the 10th.
Yes. Hopefully, those races, I've looked over them. They're a bit tough, I think, going in, but hopefully we can get lucky as 16-1 the winner. So, hey, you never know. Just got to have to ride a confident race and go into the race thinking you're on the best horse.
It only took you eight starts, right? This was eight starts.
Yes, it was, a lot of people, my cousin Gary Carroll, who rides over in Ireland, he says, man, it took me 30 rides. You just got it done now. So that was, it was huge. And I think a lot of help comes from Mark Cassie, who gave me my first ride and allowed me to work for him in the mornings. And he gives me support every day. And I couldn't thank him enough.
Well, you get the 10 pounds, obviously, and you get that for your first five, and everybody will take advantage. That's the beauty of what's your weight?
If I was to go ride a race today, I'd be about 107.
Nice.
Yeah, so it helps, keeping a good diet helps.
Good job.
Yeah.
Well, and being tall.
Yeah.
There's plenty. Think about Migliori. Think about the McCarthys, father and son.
Jack Gilligan, another one riding today. He's,
yep.
he's tall as me, and he's one of the best looking riders out, and he's going to be an up and coming top rider. He's very well, and I watch him a lot.
At dinner, we were together last night.
Michelle Lovell.
Michelle Lovell's birthday party,
yeah,
and
nice.
Jack was on hand, and I didn't. It's funny. I guess you're right. I guess he is.
Yeah,
I guess he is pretty tall.
Yes, he's pretty tall. He's about my height, and he's a rider that I think in a few years coming, his name will be up there more. He's very good and very nice guy.
Yeah, very nice indeed. And my first time I'd met him,
yes.
But I've certainly have seen him and cashed a ticket or two with Jack Gilligan. Declan Carroll with us, and you mentioned I'm going to circle back to your sister,
yes.
Because her. She was out early into the show ring, and she actually would be early at the racetrack,
yeah.
Too, while you were home sleeping. And I didn't realize she was working for Phil Dutton. That's tremendous.
So, yes, she actually rides a horse on a ring weekend on a daily basis. She rides him a lot of days for Philip. She's been with him for about a year now, I believe, and she's as good a rider as anybody. It's all about getting opportunities and having the right horse in that business, as it is in this business as well. But my sister is, she's taught me a lot in riding. There's no denying that, and hopefully one day I can be successful and I can give her a boost.
And Dutton, I mean, with the, and for those that aren't aware, I mean, yes, an Olympian, one of the top Olympians that
top
we have
in the world,
absolutely. Yeah. And so, I mean, he's got a group of horses that he's constantly developing.
Yes, and she's in Pennsylvania, and then in the winter, I believe they're going to, I think, Wellington, around that area. You know, they all travel, but yeah, she's there 15-hour days, 16-hour days. She rides every day, many horses, travels around. I think she's actually going to come down and see me at Fairgrounds for Christmas, so that'll be nice. I don't get to see her that much anymore.
Well, this had to be a wonderful weekend, and with that big outpouring,
yes.
You know, I was in the car actually driving from Saratoga. I stayed in Erie on Friday night and made the second half of the trip Saturday, but the first I saw Marty McGee was the first to send out the missive, and I knew that there'd be this reaction because your parents are so popular. Popular and
hard to live up to.
Well, it's really exciting, and couldn't be happier for you. And there'll be hundreds and thousands to come. Best wishes.
Oh, I appreciate that very much, Steve. It's a huge boost to my career and be on your show. I know it takes a hard get on a few grade ones to get on this show usually, but I'm very lucky.
Well, you're a grade A egg and grade one winner to be. Without doubt.
Thank you very much. Hopefully, much success moving forward.
Without fail. And could not be happier to have the chance. And we'll cut this thing out. I'll have Casey make a file so we can send it to your father and mother. And listen, I've watched. I literally, it is, because you're 19?
Yes.
So, technically, I started coming here in 99. Mm-hmm. So the slightly precedes, right ahead of you, and started working on a regular basis here in 2001 with the barbecue, and then started the website in 2002, and the show 2005, and have seen you always one of my first stops was your dad's barn, yeah. And literally have watched you from. Literally a sprout. So.
I remember being on your show when my dad was on when I was about 6 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
But time flies.
Well, 13 years later, you got a win under the belt and many more to come. Stay safe. Declan Carroll, who you can follow on Twitter.
Yes.
Right?
DC Jock 1.
DC Jock 1. And his dad, you know, doesn't do a lot of tweeting, but Cassie Racing DC. Is Davey Carroll, and Mom's got
she's on there somewhere. I don't know.
I've got her, and so is Aislinn. You can follow the whole family, all the Carrolls. You can go caroling. I love it, Declan Carroll, everybody, and a couple of mounts this week, and keep an eye on them through the November meet, and then down to the fairgrounds where you really better watch your very careful.
Yes,
I love it. Deck Carroll, everybody. Let's take a break. Top of the hour upon us. Johnny D is going to join us. We'll dig in and talk the Express Bet Breeders' Cup wagering guide available. You can go to Express Bet. There's no city or state requirements anymore. That's all been dropped. Wherever you live, even if you're in those backwards jurisdictions without parimutuel wagering, you can absolutely download it and enjoy it. Take a break right here and come back for hour two. We're underway. We've got 14 hours of coverage for Breeders' Cup, and Johnny D joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
Are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.